11:30, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, along with Sam. We got the Friday Roundtable in studio this morning. From the Wrong About Everything podcast, Amy Koch, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. They will be competing against Sam a little later on this hour in the Friday News Quiz. Your opportunity to pick up a $100 gift certificate to Twin Cities Cannabis. If you can tell us who will win the news quiz this morning between our three contestants. And it will be a little bit different. So we've got the headline round, courtesy of Drew, who put that together for me. He'll be back on Monday show. And then we also have, for lack of a better, fancier way to name it, we have the multiple choice quotes of the week. So there you go.
Well, now Jeff just looks real confident.
They'll be multiple choice quotes of the week that'll be read by me because there was too much work involved in pulling all the audio. And Yahoo already compiled all of it for me, so that made it easy. So that'll be coming up in about one half hour from now. We are going to dive into a couple of different issues, including the plethora of lawsuits that have been filed over Biden's vaccine mandates. We'll give you some details. We'll dive into a bit of the Arizona 2020 vote audit and what it did find. Also, next, should new lawyers have to pass the bar exam? Very curious to get lawyer extraordinaire.
Oh, I've got Ryan's opinions on this.
Thoughts on this. First off, though, let's go to the phones. Ryan in Somerset's been holding for a while, and we appreciate his holding on. Believe he wants to chime in on the Rochester School Board chair saying that the parents who violate the mask ordinance at council meetings will be banned from Rochester school property for a year. Thanks for holding on, Ryan. What's your thoughts this morning?
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to say, you know, in Somerset, we were having the same problem, except that there was nobody getting banned for showing up without wearing a mask. But we got sick and tired of two school board council members that were just putting a wrench in everything. So we did a recall election, and we got rid of them. And we voted in two conservatives, you know, who now sit in their places.
Nice.
So I was just going to say, you know, if people are sick and tired of this stuff, start paying attention to your local stuff.
Yeah.
Get everybody in conservative in whose vote to vote and get those people the heck out of there. Because once you get rid of them, you don't have that problem anymore.
You know, and thanks for calling in and giving us sort of a real world example of the change that can be made. And look, if that's what the people of Rochester want, then that's on them. Mm-hmm. Right. Then, okay, cool. If things are on the up and up in terms of the elections and all that, cool. You know, this kind of goes back to the conversation we were having last hour. There is a part of me that's glad that we are kind of outside the matrix. And again, the matrix to me is like the best example. You know, you have a media that is desperate to want to frame things in a certain way to make things seem as if they aren't what they seem. And it feels like what the pandemic has done is it really has taken us all out of the matrix. And we're beginning to really see, no, what the true intent is on a lot of different issues. And I'm appreciative of that. The critical race theory is a good example, and I won't go off on too much of a tangent here, but we talked a bit about this with Katie Pavlich on yesterday's show in the 8 o'clock hour. If you missed it, be sure to catch up with it on the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. But we were dealing with the issue of critical race theory going back to 2008, 2009 in Southern Arizona. It was activist organizations that were pushing this under the guise of La Raza. And it's very similar to what we've seen around the country and even here in Minnesota, going back to indigenous lands and trying to craft an argument that this is other people's lands and we should be giving it up and teaching sort of an alternate view of history. They retooled it because they were being really open and honest about what it was up front, you know, and they ended up changing it to ethnic studies. And so suddenly you now make it ethnic studies. And if you push back against ethnic studies, well, now we can cast you as a racist. Now we can cast you as a xenophobe because now you're against teaching other races and had nothing to do with that. What I've been really appreciative to see as of late is when it comes to critical race theory, those that are out there pushing the propaganda are being very open and honest about it again. So we have a choice to make. I mean, Ibram X. Kendi, one of the main drivers and has written most of the books about critical race theory, he straight up says that you need to use racism to fight racism. Now, if you agree with something like that, I can't help you, but I appreciate the open honesty about it, right? And so if the people of getting back to what we were talking about with the caller, if people in Rochester like this kind of authoritarianism coming from the school board to ban individuals not wearing a mask from a year from campus, then that's on you. And if for those that don't, Well, I hope you can afford to move.
Well, and I would say to the, some of these to the parents that don't want things like, you know, mask mandates in schools or mask mandates at school board meetings or critical race theory, some of those things. You know, another friend of the show, Walter Hudson, who I'm proud to say is my city council person, is
nice.
One of those that's, you know, I wish there was more of that. If we had more Walters in city councils, we'd be in a better place in this state. But our local school district wants to push another levy increase. And, you know, Walter likes to, you know, rattle the sword and rattle the cages and, you know, be the provocateur. But he breaks up a good point. He said, we should get some sort of a commitment from the school district that they're not going to implement critical race theory or they're not going to do these things in exchange for us approving their levy. And I don't know the legal mechanism doing that, but it's a good point that, you know, there's a bargaining chip here is if these school board districts want more money, then they're going to have, you know, they should have, you know, it's a negotiation, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to give us for that additional money? So I think I think it's a good thing that if these parents are tuning in and I to our earlier discussion, I think that only good can come from more people engaging at the local level and the school board level to change some of this stuff.
And to what Walter was pushing for too, and what you said a moment ago, I wish that, you know, when it comes to like bonding issues and school funding, I wish there was a time appropriated to, okay, cool. We can talk about that and the fact that you want more money for all these things for, you know, said high school or district. But let's go back to the last one that was done. And let's see what was approved and let's see how that money was spent and let's see if that actually produced some tangible results. But of course, that requires work. Like trying to read a 2,500 page, you know, infrastructure bill. All right, let's move forward. Before we get to the bar exam, since we're talking vaccine requirements and mandates, a couple different versions of this here, all pointing towards the same thing. Care 11, a student at the University of Minnesota Duluth, has filed a lawsuit challenging a vaccination mandate put in place before the 21-22 school year. The lawsuit names University of Arizona president, the U of M Board of Regents, University of Minnesota system of five campuses. As defendants seeks to overturn the mandate that all students be vaccinated by October 8th. Court documents show the plaintiff is an unnamed 20-year-old undergraduate from Duluth, listed as John Doe, diagnosed with COVID-19 in November of 2020. The lawsuit maintains the student can provide evidence of immunity against COVID due to contracting the virus and has no medical condition that might create serious health risks if he were to become ill with COVID again. The lawsuit goes on to allege that the vaccine may have negative long-term effects on young people, such as the UMD student, and that the U of M president exceeded her authority by mandating the students be vaccinated to attend the university system, maintaining only that the state's health commissioner has that authority. I guess we'll take these kind of on a case-by-case basis, because I'm assuming that looking at a lawsuit over the at the university level is going to be different than healthcare workers and their business, correct? So, Jeff, we'll start with that on the school front side of things.
And I'm glad you mentioned that the plaintiff had previously had COVID, because I think this is similar. There's a lawsuit, I think it was out of the state of Michigan, where there was an injunction issue. The court, it did a preliminary ruling in favor of the plaintiff. Same kind of thing. You aren't giving credit to natural immunity from, you know, for the antibodies from being COVID positive, and therefore that's the basis for why I shouldn't be forced to take the vaccine. So this is paralleling a case where the plaintiff did in another state where the plaintiff did prevail.
And they did prevail because of the natural immunity. Natural immunity?
Man? Yeah, and that's you know,
that's the other aspect of this whole thing too, right?
That's the thing is, you know, you mentioned about earlier when you were before we came on about the vaccination rate being at the lowest point it has been. Well, you know, they're playing games with the vaccination rate. Now you're considered unvaccinated. Now, if you're in the category that's supposed to get the booster shot and you don't get the booster shot, they're now considering you unvaccinated.
No.
And they should be doing the statistic that says, you know, who's got, you know, immunity, you know, who's got, you know, who's between the vaccine people and the folks that have had COVID that have, you know, natural immunity.
We never hear those numbers. We never get the numbers about all the people that have had it and natural immunity. No one, we don't talk about that.
Right.
And yet, you know, when my mom was worried about chickenpox and the neighbors got chickenpox, you brought your kids over to get chickenpox so that you'd have immunity to chickenpox.
Well, and there's another layer to this too, and again, not knowing the science because I'm not a doctor, but we do have breakthrough cases.
Yep.
And actually, I was just talking with a family member who, through a series of circumstances, was around another group of individuals who their whole family had been vaccinated. Somebody in the family had gotten like a slight cough or something like this, went and got tested, and they tested positive. Now, they've been vaccinated, so and we know this, if you're vaccinated and you get it, you get just an incredibly mild form. But I assume that you're also going to get the antibodies to go along with it. So my question is now, is it going to be you're only fully vaccinated if you've been vaccinated and you've gotten sick and you have antibodies?
Well, the messaging on this has been horrible. And then this is probably the leading reason why we have vaccine hesitancy. You know, when we all were, you know, were kids, we got what vaccinated against what measles, mumps, rubella, polio. You don't, a vaccine implies you don't get it. You know, you have the flu shot,
right?
Which is, they should have said, we have this, we've developed this shot. If you get it, you can mitigate your symptoms. There could be side effects. But instead, they made it, and now the CDC is shifting the definition of what a vaccine is to comport with making this to try to counter that argument that, well, vaccine means you don't get it. And I think that's probably, you know, the shifting of the goalposts, I think, is what's making a lot of people skeptical about this whole thing. You know, one day, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, now we all got to wear masks again.
Right.
What is it?
Right.
And again, it started from the very jump when we were told we were going to be shut down for 2 weeks to make sure the hospitals were ready.
Right.
The original shutdown was two weeks to ensure that the hospital ERs could be ready to include. And I get it. We're building the plane as we're trying to fly it. But it's that kind of movement. Just understand that people are skeptical.
Yeah, that's a good point, Amy. We started with, we need to do these, impose these restrictions to make sure that the hospitals have the capacity to deal with this. And we've gone now 18 months later, we're firing the hospital workers for not taking this shot.
Because, and that, by the way, in large part proves, not for everybody, obviously, right? But for a large group of people that were trying to push front and center our first responders, it wasn't about actually honoring the first responders. They didn't really give a rip about the first responders. They just wanted to continue to perpetuate, the messaging of the pandemic. Because if they really cared, we wouldn't be having any of this. You wouldn't have 180 healthcare workers in hospitals across Minnesota suing their employers over COVID vaccine mandates now.
Right. And also the vaccine allows them, and I think it was M&A that said this, like, okay, M&A actually does not want the mandates, but they do want everyone vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Of course, the nurses want everyone vaccinated, but they don't want the mandates. And what they also said is, like, don't lose sight of PPE. Don't lose sight of social distancing. Don't lose sight of proper hygiene. All the other things. And it seems like it's either masks or the vaccine where, okay, now we're doing that, so the rest of it doesn't matter. And that's just also inconsistent and causes people to be skeptical. Just what happened to social distancing?
Right. No, yeah. It's the moment, you know, and we've said this a lot on the show, but it's true. Last year, there was a moment in time, and I couldn't give you the exact date, right? But it was about the middle of the year. It was before winter hit. I really feel like we began to understand exactly what we were dealing with. We began to understand, okay, we know now, and you don't hear about this all anymore. We've got enough ventilators. We're not going to have hospitals overrun because it never happened. We didn't need the COVID morgue. We didn't need the giant ships in New York City. We knew who the most vulnerable were and how to protect them. We knew how to stay separated from individuals. We knew which masks were supposed to work and which ones didn't. We knew to go and wash our hands. The moment that we knew about the ventilation inside of buildings. That's why so many people in New York. That's why New York was hit so hard, because we didn't understand out of the gate that the way the ventilation system was just pumping it through the buildings, getting everybody infected. The moment that we actually got to a place where we could begin a conversation about living with it, even before the vaccine, it got politicized.
Right.
The switch was flipped, and there was no going back after that. And you can, and real quick, you could track that, by the way. You can track that on Governor Tim Walz. When you look at how he started, and how he progressed throughout all of last year, the moving of the goalposts, the changing of the rules, how we're going to get out of it, the rhetoric and the continued lies as they piled up and piled up. Those lies piled up because he politicized it. He stopped looking at the data. The charts were gone. The graphs were gone. And it was all about political expediency.
Yeah. And I think part of this, I think it started out, you're right. It was unfortunate that this pandemic came in a presidential election year,
mm-hmm.
because the messaging, I tell people, I said, if Barack Obama had been president, the media's messaging on this would have been completely different. They saw this as a chance to, with the shutdowns and everything else, they saw this as a way to hang this on Donald Trump. And now they're trying to figure out, well, how do we come out of this? Because we're never going to get to a point where there's zero COVID cases.
Right.
You know, and now we have to explain to everybody why we did everything we did last year. When we're at the end of the day, we're just going to have to live with this. It's like other viruses, other illnesses, right? You have people that are more vulnerable than others to having long-term effects from this. And instead we're again, this one size fits all and the most oppressive solutions possible to dealing with this.
Well, and right now I'm convinced, and we'll get your quick take on, cause I do want to get into that Arizona audit, but I do want, your quick thoughts on whether or not these lawsuits are going to go through and this, should you still need to pass the bar exam to become a lawyer. But one quick point on this and we'll go to break. Right now, when it comes to what the president is doing, I'm convinced, because right now he's pushing this 96, 95 vaccination rate across the country, right? And I feel like that's why you're seeing all these people getting fired, because they want this. They want to shame the public into doing it. I'm of the opinion the whole reason why is because they want to be able next spring to declare victory. And they are establishing a new goal, and that's the goal. Right. And you're going to watch the numbers are going to drop. They're going to plummet. We're going to get through the holidays. People are going to forget about it. We're going to get into next year. They're going to continue to perpetuate. And we're going to head into spring just about the time when people are really starting to take interest in the midterms. And Biden's going to come out and say, we've reached this, however they've designed it to make it, this 96% rate of, of vaccination in the country. You'll hear about natural immunity brought back up again. And they'll declare victory over it, and Biden will be able to claim, we beat COVID. You watch. That's what's good. I'm convinced that's what's going to happen. It's all a big setup. 651-989-5855. More of Justice and Drew and our Friday roundtable. Pleased to have Amy Koch and Jeff O'Brien in studio. They'll be competing against Sam in the Friday news quiz coming up at 8:35. It's Friday here on Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Drew will be back on Monday. His spirit is alive, though.
I mean, he's still alive.
I know, but we do have a Friday news quiz. This is inaugural. Is that what you did the first time? It's inaugural. Yeah. Is that how that works? This is the inaugural John Justice news quiz.
I'm pretty excited, but it does feel like an asterisk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's kind of a footnote. Yeah, this is the lazy version. We do have a headline round this morning, and then we also have what everybody has been talking about all morning long, the multiple choice quotes of the week.
Oh, I know. I can't believe those are quotes of the week. That's what I've heard.
We'll get into that coming up at 8:35.
Tweet.
Sam from Wrong About Everything, Amy Koch, and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien will be competing this morning. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You still have several minutes left to let us know who you think is going to win the news quiz this morning. And the winner, whoever correctly identifies who that person is, will get a gift certificate to Twin Cities Cannabis for fantastic products. All right, I got a couple of items we still got to get to. Real quick, Jeff, to these lawsuits, we do have a group of unnamed plaintiffs filed a lawsuit Monday in a U.S. District Court against about 24 health institutions and federal health officials, including Mayo Clinic, Fairview Health, University of Minnesota Physicians and Regents Hospitals. They're requesting an injunction against the vaccine mandates at their facilities, saying the mandates violate their religious freedom and other laws, both state and federal. Also, two U.S. servicemen have filed a lawsuit against the Defense Department to exempt those with COVID-19 antibodies. So we're back to that issue again from a mandatory vaccine order for the military. Two questions. I guess the first question is, what do you think the chances are of victory for these individuals filing the lawsuit? And I guess the second part is, Like, how quickly do you think this will actually move through to be, you know, to be relevant? I mean, people, these things, they don't necessarily always move fast. They could get held up quite a bit. And I'm wondering if individuals are going to lose jobs or if this keeps them from losing these gigs. So what are your thoughts on these?
Well, if they're seeking injunctions and a court grants an injunction, then it stops the enforcement of the mandate,
right?
There's also, like, I think, a third bucket of lawsuits, which is the states suing the federal government over the, you know, the supposed federal vaccine mandate that, you know, that OSHA hasn't promulgated any regulations for yet.
The 100 employees or more.
Yeah. That mandate will be dead on arrival because there's a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts from 1903, which says which upheld the constitutionality of state vaccination laws, right? This was during smallpox, right? So that, you know, some people are using that case saying, well, this vaccine mandate that Biden wants, that's going to go through. No. That means that the states have the right to do that and by passing laws, not a president enacting via, right, you know, his OSHA passing regulations or an executive order. So that piece will ultimately be shot down.
Okay.
Because it's invading the 14th Amendment. That's a state's issue, not for the federal government to do. The antibodies cases, I think you said there's one Michigan case where a court did uphold, I think it was an injunction on behalf of the plaintiff. So I think the antibodies cases have legs, because of there is natural immunity from having had COVID versus the where the vaccine isn't necessary. Okay, so I think those have legs. The cases about where they're suing the employers for the religious exemption, those are the ones I think are going to be the most interesting to see where. I think it's going to depend a little bit on, you know, the courts. I think those may take a little bit longer. I don't know that the Minnesota courts are going. If it's I don't know if it's in state court or federal court. If it's in federal court, maybe if it gets to the Eighth Circuit or the Supreme Court, they might do. Eventually, this is going to end up in front of the Supreme Court. Okay. We know that, and then maybe that's part of the game, right? What Biden was doing by putting out this vaccine mandate is, I'm going to do something that I know the court's going to shoot down, just like the eviction moratorium extension, right?
Makes sense.
And then I'm going to go back and this is going to be the catalyst for, we need to expand the court and do all this because they're just not listening, and all this COVID is just raging, and they just don't care. So I part of me thinks there's an ulterior motive to that mandate of, again, trying to influence the court. So I think I'm a bit on the fence as to how those cases where you have employees versus employer go versus an employee versus a government mandate.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Let's get into this just real quick because I do want to just share a couple thoughts, and I've been teasing it all morning long. We haven't got to the Arizona audit. But in the Pioneer Press this morning, and again, back to you, Jeff. Of course, Amy, you are welcome to chime on this as well. I think you're in the same boat.
I'm listening to the lawyer.
That all sounds really smart, Jeff O'Brien. So, no, the state board that licenses attorneys to practice in Minnesota has begun a comprehensive study that could offer new pathways into the profession as early as 2026. Should new lawyers have to pass the bar exam, the Minnesota Supreme Court is open to alternatives. Of course, I saw in here, I got about halfway through, they talk about the two-year study, they talk about alternatives, and then in here is this racist exam. And it's just like,
so in a few years, I could be a lawyer extraordinaire as well, without the bar.
I saw the dean.
Thoughts on this.
The dean of Mitchell Hamlin, which I went to William Mitchell College of Law. I don't know what this Mitchell Hamlin thing is, so I don't recognize it. Is saying that he's for getting rid of the bar exam because it hurts marginalized communities from, you know, becoming lawyers. I've said for over a decade that our bar exam isn't hard enough, judging from some of the lawyers that I've dealt with over the years, right? Someone had a good point I saw on Twitter that said, you know, if you really want to, you know, break down barriers for marginalized communities to become lawyers, get rid of the law school requirement. Just let them take the bar exam, right? Because it's the law school where it charges you, what, $20,000 a year to go, right? No, I don't. our bar exam is a very high pass rate, so I don't understand why we need to be, you know, messing around tweaking it.
Yeah.
It's far easier than, like, I've heard, you know, the Florida bar, the California bar, or the New York bar. Almost everybody passes the thing, so I don't see, I don't understand why we're gonna, now if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, and I don't think we need to be, you know, speaking, you know, selfishly, I don't think we need to be creating pathways to have more lawyers. We've got enough. Ooh. I mean, there was a point a few years ago when no law firms were hiring. You had people come, when we had four law schools in this state, we had people coming out of law school and no jobs for them, and they were setting up their own firms, and it was a real treat to be dealing with these lawyers that had no mentoring whatsoever from experienced lawyers, and it was like, oh goody, I have a case. It was extremely difficult trying to negotiate either, you know, settlements to lawsuits or deals with these lawyers that had, they're coming out of law school and setting up their own firms. So I don't think, I think the system as we have right now is just fine.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So, but so then Kim Kardashian and I are just a no for.
Well, you know,
I'm just trying to figure out.
I would say historically,
lawyer Amy Koch for wrong about everything. Is that what your
If there's a piece to be taken, if there's a piece to be taken out of this, I would say it's the law school requirement. You know, I have no problem with if somebody can pass the bar exam, take it.
Well, okay, and let's drop back a step further, and this will lead into this to what this Arizona audit found. We've got a serious societal problem of lowering standards, and we're seeing it when it comes to criminality. You know, we've lowered our standards when it comes to criminality. We've lowered our standards when it comes to what is a quality education in schools. We're not even teaching schools anymore. We're battling over things like critical race theory, right? They want to lower standards of lawyers. We're going to do doctors next? No, thank you. I'm good. You know, they want to lower standards when it comes to voting. That is again another broad sort of view, but we do have a problem in our society right now of just taking the bar and just putting it down lower, not like in a limbo fashion where it makes it harder. We're making it things way too easy.
I saw a comment from after the dean at Mitchell Hamlin came out in favor of getting rid of the bar exam. Someone said, I think that this is telling that he's probably got students at the law school that can't pass it and doesn't want to be questioned about it. So he's all for, you know, if you just graduate. I mean, Wisconsin has called diploma privilege. If you graduate from a law school in Wisconsin, you don't have to take their bar exam. And that's, it's highly controversial. There have been multiple attempts to repeal this diploma privilege. So I don't know why Minnesota would want to go and water down their bar exam when other states are questioning whether or not, you know, whether or not they should waive the bar exam for a new lawyer. You know, I've admitted in a couple of states where I've been admitted on motion, right? But I was based on, I had 5 years of experience or 7 years of experience before I applied for these other states. So there's generally, unless you go to Wisconsin Law School and you're applying for Wisconsin, you have to take a bar exam. That's just the way it works.
On Friday, the Arizona State Senate released its final reports on the results of the Maricopa County forensic election audit. While the reports made several significant findings supporting former President Trump's complaints about the 2020 election, the corporate media ignored those aspects of the audit to focus instead only on the results of the hand recount. As broadly reported, the audit established there was no substantial differences between the hand count of the ballots provided and the official canvas results from the county. Maricopa County, which represents Arizona's most populous county, thanks to its county seat of Phoenix, had provided Biden a 45,000 vote advantage in the state, propelling Biden to a victory by just 10,457 votes. So the media presented the recount as confirming Biden's victory in the state. Left unmentioned, however, were the numerous findings of problems with the election, and most significantly, the evidence indicating tens of thousands of ballots were illegally cast or recounted. A report entitled Compliance with Election Laws and Procedures, issued by the state audit liaison, Ken Bennett, highlighted several issues, of which two are particularly significant because of the number of votes involved. Bennett excerpted the Arizona statutory provisions governing early ballots. Those provisions require early ballots to be accompanied by a signed affidavit in which the voter declares that he is registered in the appropriate county and has not already voted. If the affidavit is insignificant, it should not be allowed. In the report, Bennett noted that the whole audit scope of work did not include comparing signatures with voter registration records of each voter. It did identify a number of missing signatures on ballot envelope affidavits, to which the extent of the ballots in such envelopes were tallied would violate the above statutes. The review revealed more than 17,000 duplicate images of return envelopes. So basically what it came down to, the reports made several significant findings reporting the President Trump's complaints in 2020 election, but they ignored the fact that they did potentially find election-shifting numbers of illegal ballots on this whole thing.
Okay, so a couple thoughts on this. First of all, and before I'm just going to state at the beginning, Biden won this election.
Sure.
I never believed it was going to be overturned. And so before you come at me, though, here's what I will say. Here's also what I will say is that, unfortunately, the kind of wild claims by some folks like Mike Lindell and others,
right,
that this somehow was going to be overturned and that just you wait and in June, Trump is going to be president again. In August, he's going to be president again. That has sort of overshadowed and allowed and looked so silly. It's allowed the progressives to sort of cover over the fact that there are still election integrity issues. There are real election integrity issues. And I can believe that we have election integrity issues without believing that somehow Trump is going to be president,
right,
that he won this election. And I get negated because of these ridiculous arguments on both sides. As we get early voting, as we get more technology involved with voting, as we're making it easier and simpler to vote because we want more people to vote, that's fine. But we should also be using innovation and technology to bake election integrity into the system, because I want my vote to count. I want my neighbor's vote to count. I want everyone's to count one time. And so as it becomes easier to vote, as technology takes over, which it will because technology takes over everything, we also need to use technology and innovation to make sure that the votes cast are the votes cast. And something as simple as checking an affidavit that is required should not be that darn hard.
No.
Why is that so hard? Why can't a system be set up to do that? And it should be.
Yeah, I agree with you, Amy. I mean, the chatter on this has been, it's distracted from the focus, which is there were legitimate issues. There were changes to, I would say that, you know, when Trump comes out and says stolen election or rigged election, you know, he immediately focuses on in this weird claim that somehow that there's enough that there's enough votes out there that could be overturned in his favor. But he's got, to the extent that he cites that Time magazine article, to the extent that he cites the changes that were made in certain states' election laws because of COVID as the justification, in arguing that, you know, maybe it wasn't a stolen election or a rigged election, but certainly somebody had their thumb down on this. It wasn't fought under the rules of the previous election. The guy's got a legitimate point at that point. But it's always this din of somehow that this election is going to be overturned. But there's no question that there are ways that we can make this, you know, elections more secure. And, you know, this, you talk about photo ID. You know, we're requiring you to have a vaccine card to walk into a restaurant in New York, but you can't show a driver's license or some sort of photo ID at the polls to vote.
Why couldn't you embed a photo ID with your registration and they would have it in front of you in the polls?
Right.
And they could compare right there.
Look, I'll make this comment, and then I got the Friday news quiz coming up. You still have just a few minutes left to let us know who you think will win this morning. Use the hashtag TCNT, whether it's Amy Koch, Jeff O'Brien, or Sam this morning. I'll make this one comment. I wish that this had happened with Trump winning, not because Biden has the mental capacity of a Ken doll. Okay.
But don't insult Ken like that.
But because if this had happened with Trump winning, the left and the mainstream media would be demanding for integrity reform. And that something get to the bottom of this.
They were after he won the first time.
And that's it. And that's exactly the point. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. That's irrelevant, though, and I'm just saying it kind of out of habit because we have the Friday news quiz coming up next. Use the hashtag TCNT. Let us know who you think is going to win. Whoever does correctly identify who the winner is this morning of the news quiz will pick up a gift certificate to Twin Cities Cannabis from Twin Cities News Talk. Use the hashtag TCNT. Who you think will win the news quiz this morning will pick up a gift certificate to Twin Cities Cannabis this morning. No audio today. No parodies today. We have the multiple choice quotes of the week, and we have a headline round. We'll see how this goes and see how much we get through based on the time on the clock, because I did horrible time management this morning. So
I'm nervous. I have no idea how this is going
to
go.
So this has to go. There will be no calling your name out until we get to the headline round. Okay, as usual.
Okay.
You will be assigned each. I will read each of you a quote taken from this week. You will then have three multiple choice options of who you think said the quote. It's that simple. You just let us know who you think. Okay. I don't think we're going to do.
If we get the answer before the choices, do we get a bonus point?
No, no bonus. No, I'm not. I will not be awarding any arbitrary bonus points. At least that's my plan.
But John, you look so pretty today.
So,
and you sound amazing.
I'm not falling for it.
I can tell that you worked really hard.
I want genuine compliments, and will not fall for this ruse.
Nice shirt,
Sam. We're starting with you this morning.
Oh no!
Here's your quote, and then you got to tell us who said it. All right. Here's your quote. I don't know that young lady that well. I really don't. I met her one time between sets here, but that's it. We have not had any conversations. She's speculating and saying things. Who said it? Was it Kyrsten Sinema, Dog the Bounty Hunter, or Joe Manchin?
That was Kyrsten Sinema. Saying it.
No. That was Senator Joe Manchin dismissing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's criticism of the aim to block the $3.5 trillion spending package. All right, Jeff O'Brien, here's your quote. If it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that he would have called China and done these things and was willing to advise them of an attack or an advance of attack, that's treason. Who said it? Was it former President Donald Trump? Was it Gene Simmons? Or was it Ron Johnson?
I gotta say it's Ron Johnson.
Wow.
I like multiple choices.
That was former President Donald Trump talking about Mark Milley. He may have committed treason.
This is tough.
All right. Amy Koch, you ready?
I don't know, I guess.
All right, here's your quote. I don't think the president is looking for guidance of members of Congress who stood by as the leader of their party fomented an insurrection. Who said this? Was it Rashida Tlaib? Was it Press Secretary Jen Psaki, or was it Sofia Vergara?
I'm going to go with Psaki. No!
No, you are correct.
He said something else.
For me, it's like the word fomented. I was like, she just seems like someone who would have said that.
All right. Sam, here we go. You ready?
No.
Okay. All right. This is actually a very serious quote, so I want to make sure I get the room at the right. I get the room at the right place right now. Okay, this is a very serious quote. I am also a survivor of sexual abuse, and I believe without a doubt that the circumstances that led to my abuse and allowed it to continue are directly the result of the fact that organizations created by Congress to oversee and protect me as an athlete. Was that Megan Rapinoe? Was that Michaela Maroney? Or was that Simone Biles?
Simone Biles.
You are correct. Testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on the failure to address the sexual abuse allegations committed by the former USA coach Larry Nassar. All right, Jeff O'Brien, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Imagine if every time someone referred to me as young lady, they were asked, responded to by being addressed with their age and gender. I'd be pretty upset if one responded with the old man, right? Why this kind of weird patronizing behavior is so accepted is beyond me. Was that Britney Spears, AOC, or Demi Lovato?
That's AOC.
You are correct, sir. Now, Sam, I got to make sure we're keeping score here. Have you gotten one right yet, Sam?
I got one right, yep.
So everybody's got one right. We're all tied up. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. We're all tied up.
All right, you guys can all say that. You're all tied up. Doesn't make a difference if you're wrong because you're all tied up. All right, so... It's hard. Now I understand how difficult this is for Drew.
I can keep track.
I have a much better respect for the news quiz now. All right. Jeff, that was you. Amy, we're on to you. Here we go. It's not like he doesn't know what I'm going to say. Listen, how it got to be that if it was a scientific accident, it's conservative. And if it came from a wet market, it's liberal. I don't know. Who said that? Was it Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel, or Jon Stewart?
Let's go with Trevor Noah.
That was Jon Stewart admitting he was surprised at the reaction to his observation on the Late Show, the Stephen Colbert, that the coronavirus likely came from a Wuhan virology lab. All right, Sam, you ready?
Yes, I think.
Here's your quote. The country has gotten to the point where we're really good at finding something that separates us. I think the media makes it sound as though you're just always going right to your personal preference. So they think you are anti-abortion or something personally. They think that's the way you will always come out. They think you're for this or for that. They think you become like a politician. Who said this? Was it Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, or Cameron Diaz?
I kind of want to go with Cameron Diaz, but I feel like one of those is not like the other, so we'll go with Clarence Thomas.
You are correct.
Thank you.
All right, we're down to our last two quotes before we get to the headline round. Jeff O'Brien, here you go. 2 million QAnon finding like-minded people in that world, in the social media. Thank you, Facebook, for 2 million members of QAnon. Was that Nancy Pelosi, Tom Hanks, or Ilhan Omar?
Tom Hanks.
That was Nancy Pelosi referring to Facebook internet audit that uncovered millions of followers of the conspiracy theory on the social media platform.
I'm honestly surprised she knows what Facebook is.
All right. Last one. Last quote. Ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Our investigation now concludes the strike was a tragic mistake. Was that Kenneth McKenzie, the general? Was that Mark Milley? Or was that Jennifer Carnahan?
That was McKenzie.
All right, you guys have all successfully survived.
Ooh,
round
I like
one.
That.
Sam with 2 points. Amy Cope with 2 points. Jeff with one. We now head into the headline round. I think we have just enough time. All right, let's go ahead and dive into it. Again, if you know the answer, you got to shout your name out. Okay? Here we go. Headline number one. Oop, I got to make sure I got my score chart over here. Headline number one. Warm ocean waters turn blank into a hurricane.
Sam. Hurricane Sam.
That is correct.
Go me.
Oh, I need the...
There you go.
There. Okay. You need to keep that up.
Yeah, well, it's Thank up you. Now. There was music playing.
Headline number two. California makes blank vehicles mandatory.
Jeff.
There you go.
Electric vehicles.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Headline number three. Scientific America says blank are problematic white saviors. Anybody? Jedi. Scientific America says that Jedi are problematic white saviors.
Come on.
All right.
You said there was not going to be any Star Wars questions in this.
I forgot.
Yoda.
It's true. It's very That's probably the most cogent argument that I've heard to that ridiculous article, Amy Cope. All right. Headline number four. Biden proposes blank workaround.
Oh, Jeff, DACA.
You are correct. Headline number five. Celebrations erupt in blank as COVID restrictions end.
Norway.
All right. Headline number six. Buyers emerge for Minnesota's never used...
Sam. The big old warehouse they're going to use as a morgue.
That is correct. All right. We are at headline number seven. A $3.5 trillion spending package includes big money for blank equity.
Jeff.
Amy.
Racial equity.
Amy.
Gender equity.
Sam? You should know this.
It was probably in my top five. Mm-hmm. I still remember.
Tree!
Equity!
Headline number eight. ACLU says it was a mistake to alter blank quote.
Jeff, the RBG quote.
That is correct. Headline number nine. Blank sues Biden administration over border policies.
Jeff. Texas?
Nope.
Oh. Amy, Florida?
That is correct. All right. Headline number 10. Arizona restaurant cooks 25-foot...
Sam.
Amy.
Oh. It's chimichanga.
That is correct. Chimichanga to set a world record. Headline number 11. Minnesota homeowners complain of blank.
Sam. Box elder bugs.
All right. Well, this has turned into a blowout. But we'll still
really
do the last one anyways. All right, here we go. Headline number 12. Blank admits to leaking dirt to authors about Trump.
Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Milley.
All right. And with that, we do have a winner. That would be
Yay!
Sam Sansevier.
Finally! I haven't straight up won in a
long time. You are the champions. You are the champion. The other two are losers, but you are the champion of the news.
All right, Sam will pick a winner for whoever correctly identified that she would win this morning. Good showing, though, you guys. There was a lot of pressure on, thank God, but I think we could all applaud ourselves for the effort that we did with that. And with that, Sam.
Yes.
Did you learn anything today?
I did. At around 6:30 this morning, I learned about what the Navy is using old Xbox 360 controllers for. After 7:20 a.m.,
then what
I learned...
are they using it for?
You'll have to listen to the podcast to find out.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's right. That's the whole point of this whole bit,
It's called a tease.
That's right. I forgot.
Around 7:20 this morning, I learned that Rochester schools are banning parents from district property if they show up to meetings without a mask on. And then after 8:20 this morning, I learned more about the Arizona audit results. If you missed any of those conversations, you're going to want to catch up on the show by finding our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew. Coats for Kids, also want to give them a shout out. Coats for Kids is back for its 36th year. You can donate new or gently used kids and adult coats to any Pilgrim Dry Cleaners 27 locations through October 9th. Visit pilgrimdrycleaners.com for details. Over 80 years of convenience and quality, plus free pickup and delivery.
Check out the Wrong About Everything podcast, where you can hear more of Amy Koch. Thanks for coming in this.
Get your pet medications delivered hassle-free from Chewy. We make shopping for prescriptions easy. Simply choose the product that's right for your pet. We'll contact your vet and take care of the rest. Shop America's number one pet pharmacy. Visit Chewy.com today.